And what's behind him, which person can tell him? Who knows what lurks behind the person, chas v'shalom, what's waiting for the person?
What's behind him?
Yes. No. What's in front of him means what's going to happen in the future. What's behind him means, chas v'shalom, what sorrow is lurking behind him to fall on him. You understand? That's what it means. V'chol ze merumos bedivrei razal hanal. And all of this is hinted in this statement in the Gemara. Lalameit, where the Gemara says that number one, Moshiach is going to come Besach Hadas, that with all your planning, Jews can make all kinds of plans, and in the end, nobody knows. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. It's going to be a surprise to everybody. And so too, Akrov, the bite of the suit, that Mashiach is the super, ultra, ultimate success of Klal Yisrael, Mashiach's coming, is something that nobody knows. And so too, Akrov, the bite of the scorpion, when the scorpion's going to bite, is also something nobody knows. You can't plan for it at all. Lalame, this is to teach it. Lalame das es odom. The Torah is trying to teach us wisdom. To the person shehoylech v'toye b'machshavoy sovarabim, this person who's going and wandering with all of his thoughts, thinking and planning, shechoyshiv b'chol eis tachbulois rabois, the person's thinking always all kinds of plans, v'daigois shoynois, and all kinds of different worries, be'inyan parnososoi, regarding his parnoso, v'asokov shel zehoylam, and regarding all the things that related to gashmius. About his house, he wants to make improvements in the house, and this has to be fixed, that has to be fixed. V'chulam lohevel v'lorik. And there are times when all of it is just baloney, it ends up with nothing. Ki pit'om boim olav chas v'shalom pegoim v'tzoroi shelo'olu al'daitoi. Because sometimes the person suddenly gets hit with a bomb, with a tzoro that he didn't plan for at all, chas v'shalom. Shalayolo al daito, which it never occurred to him that this kind of tragedy would occur. Shem bechinas akrov habo v'noyshech pislaim besachadas. This is what's represented by the scorpion that suddenly bites when you're not expecting it or anything like that. That's one version of what happens to the person. Sometimes a person's making all worrying about parnos and suddenly gets hit with something that's 4 billion times bigger than the problems he thought he had. He thought he had these kind of problems, and he was thinking about them for weeks and weeks, and then suddenly he gets zapped in such a way where he says, I was so stupid. I was thinking for these 4 weeks, I was worrying about this, when I didn't even imagine that chas v'shalom, this other problem was going to strike, which makes the things that I was thinking about look ridiculous in comparison. Ulefomim lehepech. And sometimes the opposite happens to a person. Shedoyeg al parnososoi v'tztarchusei arabim. He worries about parnoso and all his needs. Ad shedagosoi mechalechayov. To the point where the worrying eats away at his life. He ends up that his day is no day. His night can't sleep at night. Can't eat, can't accomplish during the day because he's walking around nervous. Upisoim bolo yeshua. And suddenly Hashem sends a Yeshua from left field, from where you weren't thinking or planning whatsoever. Shemazmen lo Hashem Yisborach eze revach godoil oikoton. Hashem sends him either some large sum of money that he wasn't planning on at all, or even a small sum of money. Oy eze chefetz, or some type of item. Or parnosas hayoyim, or even a person, Hashem sends him $100 bill, which covers his needs for that one day. V'hakoil behesach hadas, and all of it comes without planning. Kial piroiv, because Rav Nosson Zal testifies here, in the majority of cases, horevach v'haparnosa shel odom boim behesach hadas. The parnos of a person, or the profit of the person, most of it comes unplanned, unthought, that you didn't do anything to earn it. Hashem sent it in a way where you see clearly it didn't come based on plans that you had made. Im yosim liboy lozeh. If a person will think about this carefully and study their life carefully, they'll see that a lot of the hatzlochas that they had in Parnassa didn't come from their planning. Suddenly somebody called them up about a job. What are you... Not that you went looking for it and this and that you found it. Somebody called you about a joke, you know, that kind of thing. Interesting, I once heard an explanation. The Gemara says in one place, Koshem mizaynoisov shalodom ki kriyas yamsuf, that a person's parnosa is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. What's the analogy? What is the Gemara coming to teach us in this? Because the Gemara says that when the Jews were standing at Kriyas Yamsuf, what happened? The Gemara says there were about five groups of Yidden that started making suggestions. One group said, we're not going to run away from Egypt. Turn around and fight like a man. Stand up to them. I don't care if we all die here. It doesn't matter. At least we'll know we died as heroes. Not what kind of business Jews running away from a fight. The other said, crazy, we got to run as fast as we can. Who knows, maybe we'll outrun them, maybe they'll change their minds, they'll get tired. Everybody offered different suggestions, but the Midrash says, nobody said, let's jump in the lake, let's simply jump in the lake. That nobody suggested, because it's the most ridiculous suggestion possible. And Daika, from the place where nobody thought the Yeshua would come from, that's where the Yeshua came from. That's what the Gemara means, and the same thing is when it comes to Parnassa. There are certain people who spin their wheels all day, running on a treadmill, thinking and planning and figuring and making phone calls and all kinds of baloney, and in the end, all of their efforts end up in the zoo, and Hashem sends the Yeshua, whether it be that day's Yeshua, or that month's Yeshua, that year's Yeshua, from a place where the person, that never occurred to me that it would come from there, that kind of thing. And the point is, what he's teaching us here is not that a Jew isn't supposed to make any hishtadlus, therefore sit at home and look at the ceiling. That's not what he's talking about. But what he's talking about here is that this extra stuff, where people make themselves nuts, thinking too much about this stuff, thinking and making plans and making cheshbonos and using up, wasting time during the day on this stuff, that's treif. Because we're being told here that Mashiach and Metzias come behesach hadas. It's not going to come from your calculations and cheshbonos, it's going to come behesach hadas. The Iker Yeshuos of Klal Yisrael come through hesach hadas. Alkein, therefore, mi sheroitze lochus al chayav. Ayay. It doesn't make any sense. Alkein, Rav Nosson Zal says, therefore, mi, we apologize that possibly a little bit of the learning was lost on the tape, because the tape ended, we didn't realize it. Alkein, therefore, mi sheroitze lochus al chayav. A Jew who wants to have pity on himself. He shouldn't toil needlessly. He shouldn't make himself go through all kinds of gyrations for nothing. Tzorech lehishtadel lehizgaber mo'oid al ribui machshevoisov etachbuloisov. The person has to become strong enough to suppress that banana boat thinking, that thinking and plan, that figuring out, that wrong kind of planning needlessly, making
cogitating,
worrying, and that kind of stuff. Rak litlois einov lamorim b'chol eis, but rather to look up to Hashem at all times. K'may shekosuv, as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ach leloikim doimi nafshi, my soul only yearns towards Hashem. Ki mimenu tikvosi, that's where my tikva is. That my hope, my salvation is going to come from Hashem. It's not going to come from me 600 phone calls. And even if I'm going to make phone calls, my attitude isn't going to be to make myself nuts with phone calls. Here again, there are some people, he's looking for a job, so he'll do it 14 hours a day and he won't have mincha, and he'll be crazy, he'll be nervous and yell at his kids. That's not for a religious Jew. A religious Jew doesn't have the emunah in the phone calls, doesn't have the emunah in... he'll do a certain hishtadlus, because he knows that he's not such a super tzaddik that he deserves to get it via obvious miracle. But the bitochin in Hashem and the tikva in Hashem is so solid that despite the fact that the Yeshua hasn't come, despite the fact that I made the phone call and nothing came out of it, I'm super sameach because my trust wasn't in the phone call anyway. The trust was in his Hashem. And I believe that every iota of his shtadlus that I did was a success. That itself was a success. The fact that I was able to show a sign of effort, that's already a hatzlacha, Baruch Hashem.
In other words, he's doing a mitzvah by doing his shtadlus.
Of course.
And he feels good about how,
of course,
it came out.
Exactly.
But the money, that's a separate thing. That's from Hashem.
Money is only from Hashem. Rak ach leloikim doyminashi kimimenu tikvosi.
It's also who's going to be on the end of the phone, and what the thoughts will be on that person will also be through HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Exactly. Exactly.
Not that I make the phone
it's
call.
Not that I'm in control. Oh, oops, I said the wrong thing. I should have said that. Remember those nuts who make themselves crazy? They call up for the interview and the guy asks them to call. I should have said, now I probably won't get the job. And now who knows how I'm... Who is you? And stop making yourself nuts. Go daven shachris. Go say likutei
tefillah. You do your behem and you get led on your way and you walk X amount of feet.
But maybe is the hishtadlus in always turning your eyes to Hashem? Is that where the real hishtadlus is?
Wait. Uchsoi, uchsiv, that's a printer's mistake, uchsiv, and the Pasuk says, goil al Hashem darkecho, v'ikoinu machshavoisecho. In other words, put upon Hashem, direct yourself towards Hashem, and Hashem will put your thoughts in order. Hashem will give you the right idea. Hashem will put the right concept in your mind. Uchsiv, and the Pasuk says, hashleich al Hashem yehovcho, v'hu yechal kaleko. Place your needs upon Hashem and He will sustain you. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, i'efsher lohovin drochov yisborach klal, it's impossible for us to understand the ways of Hashem at all. Eichu misnahig in kolotem beprotius, how Hashem deals with every single individual person. V'hashinuyim sho'ever malotem echad bi'atzmoy b'chol yoyim b'chol eis. And all the different things that each and every one of us goes through every single day and every single hour, ups and downs and arounds. Ashariyev shalashar, we can't even describe what each and every single person goes through. Kizeh yodua, because this is known, the Chol Yisrael ma'aminim bazeh, and every single Jew believes in this, shashem yizborach kuloi toiv, that Hashem is 100% good. Umanhi goylomoi bechesed, and Hashem conducts the world with kindness. Ubriyosav barachmim, and He treats all of His creations with kindness. Mekol kavanosis baruch b'chol ma'ashoy v'al Yisrael bechlal ubeprato beprote protius b'chol yoyim v'chol eis v'osho, and Hashem's 100% intention in everything that's happening to every single person, every single day, every single minute, is all hakoy letoiva. Hashem's intent is only good. Ki kol ma'adovid rachmona letavovid, because the Gemara says, whatever Hashem does is only for the good. Ach kol ha'harpaskois v'hatlois oivam al'odom. However, all the different difficulties and struggles that a person goes through, hakoil machmas inyan anal, it's all because of what we discussed earlier. Machmas Hashem yizborach oyhev tzedoko u'mishpot. It's because of the fact that Hashem loves charity and justice. He loves both. V'chol hatzedokois v'chasodim horabim sho'ise humalbish bebechinas mishpot bedrochov aniflon. And very often, the kindness that Hashem does, He cloaks it in justice. Lahavdil, you have a parent who's got a kid, and the parent knows that if they just give the kid everything the kid asks for, the kid's going to become rotten and spoiled and no good. So therefore, the parents sometimes look for things to ask the kid to do as an excuse to be able to give the kid a gift. He would love to give the kid this concept of working towards something and earning it yourself, in a sense. That feeling that you did something to deserve this. That kind of attitude. So kavyochol by Hashem also. Hashem can't just be handing out stuff all day, giving it out that way. Otherwise, it's going to do harm to us. So Hashem is malbish his chesed in mishpat. He's forced for our benefit to hide the chesed in the mishpat, so that Hashem doesn't look like a total pushover, and the world doesn't look like it's all freebie and it's all one big zoo. But rather Hashem hides the chesed in the mishpat to an extent. He gets us to do little things to show that we deserve, despite the fact that what could a person say, how much would a person need to do to deserve one day of life? A person would say you got to learn 300 blat gemara, that a person should give you one day of life or one day of pleasure in this world. And yet Hashem doesn't do it that way. Hashem cloaks his mishpot in wondrous ways, which the human being isn't capable of understanding. Within the mishpot, Hashem does tztoka. V'alkein ein shum eitza v'tachbula lehinotzel mipigei ha'ilam kiim al yedei tfila v'tachnunim. Therefore, there's no alternatives. There's no other way of dealing with all the difficulties and all the suffering in the world and all the tragedies of the world other than through tfilos and tachnunim, praying and begging Hashem for help. Sheyirbe lehispalel b'chol yoim. A Jew should see to it to invest a lot of time and a lot of effort in tefillah every day. Ukamashem razal, as the Gemara says, La'olam yaktim odom tefillah letzora, that a Jew should always precede problems with tefillah, meaning don't wait for the problem to come, don't wait for the illness or for the lack of money, even when you have money, but there's a slight anticipation that maybe tomorrow you won't have, or maybe in a week you won't have, or you have your health now but in a week you don't know what's going to be. Daven now for next week, even daven now for next year. Makolshkein kishabol of ezet tzorach hasashol maydoichek. How much more so if a person is already in a state of suffering or under pressure? How much more so that person is obligated to daven Hashem, not to make themselves nuts, worrying and thinking and trying to figure out solutions, but rather that the main emphasis of the person should be on the tefillah. The main bitochin should be on the tefillah. Once I daven, fine, I'm going to go out and do some ishtadlus. But the ishtadlus is going to be with a simcha, with a bitochin. Why? Because I davened. There's a very famous, important story about Rav Nosson Zal. One second, let's just finish this sentence. Ki yishuosoi tovoi keherifayin behesach adas daiko. Because the person's salvation will come to them like the blink of an eye, but dafka when they're not thinking, in a moment where they're not thinking. I would want to give two comments on this. Number one, the famous story of Rav Nosson Zal, that one year it came Pesach time, and he was way out of money. He had nothing. It was Erev Pesach in the morning, and he didn't have money for food. His wife hadn't done her shopping yet for Yontif. And he came into shul looking very, very depressed. Looking depressed. Not that he was literally depressed, but looking very down. His Talmidim knew when he walked into shul in the morning, they saw him dance into shul. They saw him walk in with a smile on his face, with an attitude of power. And this morning they saw him come into the shul, you know, in a very quiet, low way. So they asked him what happened. So he said that his wife taught him Masechta Morash Chora last night. His wife gave him some Mishaberach, that what kind of person are you, what kind of husband are you, what kind of father are you, that it's Erev Pesach and we don't have money for food. So he came in with that kind of attitude, and they saw him put on his talis, and they saw him put on his tefillin, and they saw him start revving up his engines, going from Korbonos to Psukei Dezimra to Shema to Shemoneh Esrei. And they saw that by the time he was finished with Shachris, he was the same Rav Nosson Zal. He was the Rav Nosson Zal who already had everything for Pesach, everything, all his needs were covered. He was flying. In other words, the tefillah to him was so important, and he was so positive. He had such bitochin in Hashem and in the tefillah, that post-Shachris, he was already rolling. He was already joking with them as if he already had everything. What ended up happening? There were two of his friends who were in a different city, 50 miles away, who were rushing to get home for Pesach. They had just had their market, whatever the thing was, and they had just made a lot of money, and they were on the way home rushing for Pesach, and they had to pass through the city of Breslov to get to their city. Passing through Breslov already, they figured they don't know when they're going to see Rav Nosson Zal next, and it's Erev Yontif. What better time is there to give him some money, not for Pesach, but to give him for money through the summer, let's say, till Rosh Hashanah? So they gave him $500, $1,000, whatever it was, both of these guys. So Rav Nachman Tulchinezal, who was with Rav Nosson Zal in the morning, and was with him at the time that these guys gave him the money, said that the chiddush was that he saw zero change in Rav Nosson Zal's face when he got the money in his hands to what he was, what his attitude was post-Shachris. Meaning that this was a Breslov chosid, that once he did his tefillah, the confidence, that he wasn't waiting to see how the money's going to come. How the money's come was insignificant. It was going to come behesach hadas. That's how it was going to come. It wasn't going to come through his muscles or his good looks, or he wasn't going to go find some fast job on Erev Pesach that he could sweep somebody's floors. It was going to come from Hashem. How, what, when, where? Doesn't matter. That's secondary. And once the money comes, you don't have to bow down to the person that gave him the money, because he was just a shliach. He was a vessel from Hashem. You say thank you, but not the way some people would say, "Oh, you saved my life. I don't know what I can do to..." Who say Hashem saved your life? You didn't save my life. You don't even know if you're going to be alive in a minute. So you didn't save my life. I thank you that you are Hashem's shliach. This point of always giving the main kavod Hashem. This doesn't mean spitting on everybody, saying anybody that does you a favor is a zero. Anybody that gives you money is a zero. But 99% of the emphasis is on Hashem, 1% on the person.
So when you thank someone for doing something, you shouldn't overemphasize?
Of chas v'shalom, because sometimes it comes off being disrespectful to Hashem, and it's chanufa, it's flattery, and it makes you small in the person's eyes, and it makes Hashem small in the person's eyes. If you tell a person, thank you, you saved me, you helped me, you're injecting gaiva into that person. Instead of teaching that person and showing that person what a Jew is all about, what a Breslov chosid is all about. Breslov chosid, my emunah was in Hashem. Don't think that if you wouldn't have given this to me, if you wouldn't have been here, Hashem has 100 shlichim. I thank you. You were zecher to be the shliach toiv. The Gemara says, "Megalgal and schusa yidei zakai," that when Hashem wants to do a nice thing, He picks a good person to do it through. So the fact that you gave me this money, I believe that that's a siman that Hashem is giving you the title zakai. A zakai, I'm pleased to meet you, and it's a pleasure to be your friend, and I appreciate you and everything. But not to put it in the wrong context that you saved my life. Because tomorrow Hashem say, "Oh, he saved your life? Fine, let him take care of you next month also." If that's what you're declaring, if he's your Hashem, then let him take care of you for next year also, chas v'shalom.
So Hashem doesn't just choose anybody to do this particular deed?
No. Usually a good item is sent through a good person, and lahavdil be'ed the be'ed. That's Rav Nosson Zal. Lahavdil, Nosson Maimon, just to give you an example from my own search for Parnosa, the first job that I ever got in my life, I had a Rebbe who had suggested to me to get involved in computers. My parents at the time were of the belief that if a Jew doesn't go to college, he's a zero, he's a nothing. They went through the Holocaust in Europe, and they came to America, and they had to work in factories, and their dream, the European-American dream at that time, was that the kids will have it better than we had it, at least. At least if we have to work in factories and earn $2 an hour, at least we'll give our kids the education that we didn't have. We'll send them to college, and they'll become professionals, a doctor, a lawyer, or this, and they won't have to sweep floors. They won't have to work in a factory. And when my parents heard that I wasn't going that route, they were super upset, and they swore to me up and down, "You're going to see that you're going to need money, and you're going to come to us, and you'll get nothing, because you disappointed us in this way, that you're going against our wishes, and you're going against any logic and reason and sanity. What kind of nut who's being offered an opportunity to go to school, the parents are willing to pay for a college education, and you're not willing to go? That's a shoita. Hama'abed mashnoisimla." You give him a gift of life, and he throws it away. And my Rebbe understood differently. He advised, get out of college, because college, chas v'shalom, could do other harm to you. Go to a professional school, you learn computers in 3 months or something like that, and you'll have a good profession without having to go through the university everything. P.S. went to school, graduated from school, 17 years old, 17 and a half at the time, but looked 21. So on my resume, those days on your resume, you had to write your age also. Wrote 21, start looking for jobs, and one after another, each person says to me, gives me a nice speech, you're wonderful, you're a tatala, this, that, but if you go back to school and get your degree, it'll be much easier for us to find you a job or to give you a job. And I went from one office to the next, and my custom in those days was 5 days a week, I went looking for work. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 days. Erev Shabbos to me at that time was like Erev Shabbos. I had to say Shnei Mikra V'Chotargam in the morning, and I wanted to go to the mikveh at 12 o'clock at the earliest time and get ready for Shabbos, all kinds of things. That was the one day I took off. So after weeks of looking for a job, one Friday, while I'm in the middle of saying Shnei Mikra, the phone rings, and P.S., that resulted in my job. And that I remember this now 20 years later. This is my musar to show me that it came to me. In other words, in the end, the Yeshua didn't come through my knocking on someone's door. Somebody had heard about somebody who was looking for a job. They told this one. It was a whole story. Somebody told my Rebbe, somebody knew that my Rebbe's son was interested in a job in computers at the time. So they called him to tell him about a job for the son. They didn't know, though, that the son, the Rebbe's attitude was his son had parnos, he had a job. He wanted to break into the field of computers. He felt that I needed it more because I had nothing at the time. So he ended up giving it to me, whereas this person who offered it to his son would never have offered it to me for whatever reasons. He wasn't on friendly terms with me. So he ended up telling him, who told me, and I went to the PS and I got it. You know, just to show you how behesach hadas. Sometimes Hashem shows it to you black on white that you shouldn't think you did it. I sent it to you. Now another person will say, what do you mean? But I did all the effort, but you know, to put things in the right perspective.